Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
The drive home today, Brad Logan. We welcome everybody in today to the drive home. Brad Logan here. It's the pre-game show for the Ole Miss versus Georgia kick. We'll have Jake Thompson join us from the Ole Miss Spirit live in location. Ben and I'll be headed down at some point today or tomorrow. And we've got a lot of things to get to. Obviously, we had media day. That's why Jake will be coming on to tell us all about what happened down in New Orleans. We'll hear. I know there's some stuff with Trinidad Chambliss. There was a question asked. Kewon Lacy, how is his health? And then Pete Golding. A couple of things we want to tell you about before we get to our sponsors today. The pregame show is going to be a New Year's Eve edition of the Drive Home. Thankful to our good friends at the Ole Miss Alumni Association and the Fillmore. We'll be live on location from 8 o'clock until we decide to go home. So we'll hang out as long as you guys want to hang out. And we couldn't do it without all of our good friends, Kurt Purdom and the entire team at the Ole Miss Alumni Association. Thank you for the invitation. And we will bring you full coverage of New Year's Eve in New Orleans. Cannot wait to do that. New Year's Day will be live on location for a monster pregame show. Ben, I've been told by so many people that they're coming. They're so excited. That's going to happen from 2 until 4 on New Year's Day. That is game day in New Orleans. So we're so excited that everybody's going to be coming to Manning's. I think it's going to be a huge crowd. So excited for all of you to come out and see us. And Ben, we'll get to our sponsors in a moment. But those are our two live and on location, at least the two that we're going to do pregame. Obviously, we'll have a postgame show that'll be huge. And who's to say we might not do a couple of pop-ups? I'm going to do some stuff for the Magnolia Tribune. We'll be popping up on Canal Street, interviewing different Ole Miss fans. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of content, and I'm really excited about headed out to New Orleans, Ben.
I'm excited to head down to New Orleans, too. We're leaving today. My whole family's going with me, thanks to Billy Landis over at Riverland Roofing for helping me find some tickets. It's the hottest ticket in town by far of all the quarterfinal games in the college football playoff. The most expensive get-in price is for Ole Miss and Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. So it was a hard ticket, but we've got some secured for Emily and Gracie and Riley. They'll be riding up with me. We're leaving today. Should be arriving at some point, you know, between now and then. But definitely will be on site in New Orleans, starting tomorrow, full-fledged, and then on into New Year's Day and rolling out on January 2nd. But the Ole Miss Rebels have shown up already in New Orleans. And here's a little look at it. I love the New Orleans-y band playing as they're showing up. I love that.
And being real quick on that Patriots plane, I've been getting a lot of texts about that. I'm taking an educated guess on this, but I would guess Robert Kraft's relationship with Joe Judge and Charlie White Sr. is how that happened.
Probably. I've heard that. The Patriots rent out that plane pretty regularly. It is interesting. There's Winnie Watkins looking like $1 million. Harrison Wallace. It's really cool to see the team arrive. They're there for the Sugar Bowl. They practiced in Oxford, got back from holiday break on Christmas night, practiced all weekend, and now they're in New Orleans. And you're getting a replay of what it looked like once they got to the airport there in NOLA, the Ole Miss Rebels coming into town for the Sugar Bowl. And yesterday on Game Runs Deep, Sudo and I kind of picked the game. We decided to go with Ole Miss just because we said if Ole Miss beats Georgia. They're a team of destiny, and we believe that they're going to go on to win a national championship. The most likely outcome is that Georgia beats Ole Miss because the game script hasn't really changed. Before we jump into anything else, including some sound from Pete Golding, we're going to go to Jake Thompson, who's in New Orleans, who was there for all the media stuff. They had 50 players, coaches, every coach. You'll hear from a lot of those guys and also from Jake. But before we jump to that, now that, you know, only a few days removed, Brad, from the Sugar Bowl, what's your score prediction, man? Where are you at right now?
I mean, I just cannot get away from the fact that this line hasn't moved, Ben. And I understand all of the smart money's coming in on Georgia, and I understand that everybody's saying that, you know, Georgia's being bet heavily in this. But last I checked, FanDuel had this thing at 6.5. It opened at 7. I'm sorry, it opened at 6.5, went to 7. It's back down to 6.5. And so I think a lot of people are just kind of looking at this game on a couple of different ways. Number one, you're looking at the game from almost – identically 2 months and 10 days ago when Ole Miss was in control. And I looked at ESPN's predictor, and with a minute and 10 seconds to go in the third quarter, Ole Miss was 94% chance to win the game. 94%. And that's how fast things changed. And then Ole Miss would eventually lose the game. I mean, we know now that Georgia ran off 17 points, the big fourth down play, and then Kirby Smart at the end of the game. We've talked about all of that, and Kirby Smart talking about that. This Georgia team, quote, is built for moments like this. And moments like this means that crowd, Ben, I think I leaned to you and I know I leaned to Sudu and said, I've not heard the crowd all day like this. And we were in that, I think it was the southeast corner of the end zone, Brett Norsworthy, and we were all standing there and was like, man, it's really loud down here. And that's where the fourth down play happened. And so you look at where Ole Miss is then and where Ole Miss is now, and there's been a lot of changes. And I understand the changes at head coach, and I understand that's mainly been the only change. There's been no entrances to the transfer portal. There's been, you know, we'll hear from Jake in a moment, but Trinidad Chambliss was asked about, has he had any contact with Lane Kiffin? And if so, what is his thoughts about if he gets a waiver, will he stay, and all of that? And he basically said, I mean, I think that's kind of against the rules, but no, I'm not talking to Lane Kiffin. And that's exactly what we would think Trinidad Chambliss to say. But what I'm pointing out is obviously no player right now has the intentions of entering the transfer portal. Now, obviously, we'll see what happens at the end of this game regarding if Ole Miss wins or not. But obviously, if they win, they're headed to face, we think, Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl, and yet another glass ceiling that this program is breaking. And I'll say it once again, and I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. This program has been built to succeed. And it's not just Lane Kiffin. He is a part of that. But this program has been built by people that you see on the screen. Trinidad Chambliss, a Division II quarterback out of Fair State, that came in to be a backup to Austin Simmons. At least that's what we thought. Obviously, he had a different thing in mind. He came in to be the starter, and look where he is today. He is in an incredible position to lead this team to a national championship, and that's something that Ole Miss hasn't said since 1961, is Ole Miss has an opportunity to win the national championship. Ole Miss, and I think Jeff Robertson is a good friend of ours, posted about the Sugar Bowl, and I didn't think about this, and I did a bit of a deep dive in the Sugar Bowl and Ole Miss, and my goodness, Ole Miss is the number four team in the SEC. By the way, the Sugar Bowl, we had Sugar Bowl CEO Jeff Huntley on the program earlier this week, and Jeff basically said that the SEC is the Sugar Bowl. The Sugar Bowl is the SEC. 84 games of the Sugar Bowl have included an SEC team. 84 games. And every time that Ole Miss, every time the SEC has gone head-to-head in the Sugar Bowl, not counting the college football playoff, Ole Miss has been involved in that. So I think that's really cool. Ole Miss is number four in the SEC with 11 appearances in the Sugar Bowl. How about that?
That's three in the last 10 years, too. I mean, that's – remember when back when 4th and 25 happened, and all Hugh Freeze wanted was just to get to Ole Miss to the Sugar Bowl, and he had like if you could just get to the Sugar Bowl, that was the destination. Yeah. And now Ole Miss has been 3 times in 10 years. We don't need to take advantage. I mean, or take this for granted. The history that's being made. It's a good point.
Yeah, and I don't think they are. They being Ole Miss fans, without question, I think Ole Miss is going to show up in droves. But to kind of circle back to your original question, I was very much a 10 to 14 point Georgia win. I'm not there anymore. I do think Ole Miss is going to have a hard time winning this game, but it's much closer than I originally thought. And we'll see where we're at as it gets closer to game time. I love the quiet confidence in Pete Golding. I'm really interested to hear what Pete had to say today. So I'm grateful you got Jake on so we can hear what Pete had to say, and we'll hear the audio as well. But I'd love to get kind of Jake's thoughts. It's always different when you're in the room, Ben, as you know, when you hear press conferences. So I want to hear what Jake has to say about that. But I think at the end of the day, I love the quiet confidence of this team. I love Trinidad Chambliss, how he's handled himself. I love Kawan Lacy, how he's handled himself. And what's fascinating to me on the outside of this, obviously the season in and of itself has been so much fun. You hope that you can continue to win. But what I'm fascinated to see on the outside of this, what's going to happen with the portal, what's going to happen with this current team, because you and I both know the Grove Collective and its administrators feel very confident about where this team is financially, about where this administration is in regards to holding on to the current roster. They feel very good about certain positions. And so I'm excited to see how that unfolds over the next couple of, next couple of days.
There's no sleep. There's no rest for the weary for Ole Miss. I mean, after they play in the Sugar Bowl against Georgia on New Year's Day, January 2, the transfer portal opens. And there's some stuff in regards to that I've gotten that we're absolutely going to touch on here. I expect some entrants today of interest to Ole Miss, potentially with Deuce Knight being one of them. It's interesting in regards to Auburn. Like I've heard that they're going to more incentive-laden contracts with their players, and they're doing a different thing. And to expect to see even more of a mass exodus, as you've already seen, not just Cam Coleman, Jamonta Wall, and other guys like that, but you know, guys like Deuce Knight to get in. If Deuce Knight does get in, I fully expect Ole Miss to be the leading landing spot. Not to say that Ole Miss will land him, because things can change with this stuff on a dime. But, you know, going into that process, if Deuce Knight does get in, I think Ole Miss is far and away the leader to bring him back home to Mississippi. And he would compete to be Ole Miss's starting quarterback next year, especially if Trinidad Chambliss doesn't get his waiver. But, you know, he didn't really like, – what did you make of him being asked the question – about next year if he gets the waiver, similar to what I asked him a couple of weeks ago when he was non-committal? And a lot of people have used that to say, what are you talking about? How can you say, Ben, if Trinidad gets his waiver, you believe that it's the most likely outcome is he'll be Ole Miss's quarterback next year? A number of reasons, not the least of which the people actually doing the negotiating in these deals feel that way. So you go with the information that you have. But what did you make then of the answer, which was similar in answer to the one he gave me a couple of weeks ago? Do you read much into it at all?
Well, I mean, we both saw who's in the room, and it's our good friends from the local media, and there's also some friends of ours on the national media. And the national media, Lane Kiffin's going to play much more than the local media. So I'm not surprised at all by the question. As far as the answer is concerned, he's saying exactly what I would expect him to say.
Yeah.
I think, and I'm going to kind of circle back to something that Michael Borky of Supertalk said, and I completely agree with him. I think it's a disservice to not only Trinidad Chambliss, but, man, it's a really disservice to the university about not giving this young man an answer. Number one, you're not giving him an answer so he can make some decisions about his future. But I think a bigger part of – or a bigger piece of this is Ole Miss is kind of really stuck about – how they're going to process the transfer portal if they don't know the fate of Trinidad Chambliss. And it's yet another, I think, just an incredible, you know, disservice, if you will, Ole Miss by the NCAA not giving Ole Miss an answer. I think that's one reason you have Tom Mars involved. I don't know. I didn't ask Tom this. I've talked to him about some specifics of the case, but I didn't ask him if the university has employed – I don't know who's employed Tom, and I don't know if it's pro – but I didn't ask any of that. I'd just be interested to know that he's obviously involved, which means someone has reached out and said, Tom, we can't get any kind of answers from the NCAA. Can you help? And so I do think that will expedite the process, but we're really getting up to the point of where's Ole Miss going to do with the transfer portal? What's Ole Miss going to do with its quarterback situation? You've got A.J. Maddox on campus. You've got a lot of balls in the air, if you will, about some different quarterbacks throughout the country that are eventually going to be entering the portal. But on campus, Ben, right now, it's A.J. Maddox, it's Austin Simmons, and it's Trinidad Chambliss. There's a lot of talk behind the scenes about Austin Simmons. I know for a fact the university would love to keep Austin Simmons. I know that John David Baker and that offensive staff would love nothing more than Austin Simmons to be the quarterback for Ole Miss. But this is a new day in NIL. This is a new day in college football. So you really can't count on anything right now because the NCAA is not giving Ole Miss an answer on Trinidad Chambliss.
Yeah, that's the number one thing is that their entire portal strategy, even their quarterback strategy, because don't get it twisted, Austin Simmons has been pre-portaled by a bunch of schools, including Miami, and he'll have options. And if Trinidad Chambliss is the starting quarterback for Ole Miss next year, I think it's pretty obvious that Austin Simmons won't be on campus. Maybe so, but that it just goes to show you how untenable the situation is, because until Ole Miss knows something about Trinidad Chambliss, it can't do anything else, really. I mean, it will, and Ole Miss will go about its process because the calendar is the calendar is the calendar. I know they're going to start having visitors very soon because you have to. Like, while you got all the coaches in New Orleans preparing for the Sugar Bowl, you also got the recruiting office who has been preparing and building out and working on specifically the transfer portal that opens on January 2. So it's not easy for anybody. For it, the schedule is what it is. But you know, Ole Miss, like you mentioned, needs that waiver one way or the other with Trinidad. You deal with the other stuff like potential pursuits from other schools when it comes. But Trinidad Chambliss just knowing something, we all thought it would be before today. I mean, 2 days till New Year's Day and still don't know anything in regards to Trinidad Chambliss. And today, his answer in regards to his future and that waiver was the same it's always been, because for him, you don't need to close any doors. You got to leave it as open-ended as possible. But from talking to the people that are doing the negotiating, I still believe that if Trinidad does get that waiver, you know, I believe that he would be Ole Miss's quarterback next season. C. Rogers 4912. The people you're getting information from, are those the same people who said Lane would be at Ole Miss next season? How about CWJ would be back at Ole Miss? Same people. They have not been too accurate. You haven't been paying very much attention then, my friend. Because who told you about Frank Wilson first? Like 2 weeks ago, but you know, it's whatever you think. And also, I switched in 3 times about the whole Lane thing. And I told you along the whole time, it was either LSU or he was leaving. And, as far as Charlie Weiss is concerned, I said Charlie Weiss was following him to LSU. So I don't even know what you're talking about. If anything, I've been quite proud at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com and Affiliate of On 3 of what we've reported and how accurate we've been. And if you'd like to join us, click on that QR code above Brad. And you can sign up today for 50% off an annual sub. All you got to do is go to the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com and Affiliate of On 3. Hit up that QR code. Join us today. I'm going to purchase one of these big game footballs, biggamefootballusa.com. And, it's a custom college football playoff football that I will purchase and give to a new sub in a kind of a random drawing. If you sign up today at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com and Affiliate of On 3, but it's so easy, for people to, you know, cherry pick some misses and not give you any credit for the absolute hits. And I can keep going through that, but that's self-serving and stupid. And it doesn't matter to begin with. You can either believe it or not. And, I know that the one person who actually cuts checks is saying that, and I would trust that person over C. Rogers 4912, who doesn't seem to care too much about what we got going on here, which is fine. But let's go ahead now and jump to some of what Pete Golding said. Jake Thompson, who works with me at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Affiliate of On 3, he's going to join us at 10:30 to kind of give us his take from the room. But here's first and foremost, Kewon Lacy traveled with Ole Miss. You probably saw that picture that I threw up there of him doing some interviews. Probably saw him there in that video at the airport, walking in with the rest of his teammates and his coaches as Ole Miss arrives in New Orleans. And here's what Pete Golding said about Kewon Lacy's availability, as well as his relationship with Kirby Smart, Georgia head coach.
Lacy says he's ready to go. What have you seen from him in practice, and are you confident?
I couldn't agree with him more. So excited to watch him go out and play really well. Number one, the respect factor that I've always had for Coach Smart and the job that he's done every year, whether he was in the coordinator at Alabama and I was a young coordinator, Division II and 1AA, always studying their tape, right, and trying to figure out what they're doing and how we can increase our package and do it better. Him having been at Valdosta in the Gulf South, right, and I was Delta State in the Gulf South, there's a lot of that I appreciated about him, about being D2 and working his way up through it and having the success he did. So it was more of a respect factor based on what he's done and where he came from and how he did it. Obviously, he was a defensive back like I was. Some of those similarities, but there wasn't a friendship of having worked together, right, really been around him. You feel like you know him through the people that you've worked with, right? And then obviously I've worked with a lot of guys that work with him, so you feel like you know him probably better than you do, but it's always been more of a respect factor for that. To answer the second part of the question, yeah, I mean, I think anytime you're a defensive guy, you become a defensive head coach, you want that guy to have success because you want to create other opportunities for other defensive coaches. For a long time there, you felt like that offensive thing was the fling, right, and the hot young OC coming in. So you just want to be able to do a good job, obviously provide a good product for your players, but we definitely pull for each other for sure. But as far as from a fraternity standpoint, I mean, we don't have that group message yet, you know, unless Kiff puts us all in one. But other than that, no, we kind of pull for each other.
It's interesting because they're not tight like that, but they're forever connected. Pete was the one that replaced Kirby Smart at Alabama, and he never got the credit he deserved. He never got the credit. Like, if anything went wrong, it was Pete's fault at Alabama. And if anything went right, it's because Nick Saban was the actual defensive coordinator. He was the one that replaced Kirby. And now both of them facing off together as head coaches in the Sugar Bowl. It's a really, really cool story. But there's mutual respect there. And to hear the confirmation about Kiwan going out there and playing, it's more than a bruised shoulder. We've heard of separation. But you'd have to drag that kid off the field to not play in the Sugar Bowl. This is what it's all about, Brad. And, I don't think there's really anything holding Ole Miss back roster-wise right now going into the Sugar Bowl when there was originally some questions, especially after the first-round win over Tulane.
Yeah, I think what's really neat is Pete referenced about Austin State. And for folks that don't know, back in, I think, 01 or 02, the head coach of Austin State was a guy by the name of Chris Hatcher, would win a ton of games in Division II. On that staff was Will Muschamp. Also on that staff was Kirby Smart and a couple of other major coaches that would eventually get their due in college football. The world of Division II, and we won't stay on this, but it's just been fascinating to me because of my working in Division II when I first started my career, graduated from Delta State, getting involved in that D2 culture. And there's been so many coaches that have evolved out of Delta State, from Dave Aranda to Ron Roberts to Dick Rhodes, who we've heard Pete talk about, who was his head coach at Delta State, who recruited both he, Scott Eicher, and Ryan Barker out of Hammond High School in Louisiana. And it's been so much fun to hear Pete talk about coming through that Division II system. But then it's just not there. You start talking about West Alabama, about Austin State, North Alabama, where so many coaches would come out of there. Terry Bowden was at North Alabama for a number of years. So many local people like Sean Cannon, who's now at the defensive coordinator at Northeast, served at Itawamba Community College's head coach. Chris Willis, who is the head coach at North Alabama, who was also a GA at Delta State, who also Sean Cannon, who played at Delta State. I mean, I could go on and on. It's just really fun to look at that coaching tree that just kind of evolved out of the middle of nowhere in Cleveland, Mississippi. So it's really neat to see. I mean, obviously, there's a ton of respect between Pete and Kirby. And I asked this question to Sudu, actually, and who's a friend of this show and a friend of the Talk of Champions Network. And he said, I'm not sure about a parallel between Kirby and Pete right now. And I completely understood that. I mean, Kirby is at another level. But I do think it's fair to say that the career path that Pete is taking and that Kirby took, there is a chance that it somewhat could be similar down the road. We don't know what's going to happen with Pete Golding. So I'm going to flip it back towards you real quick before we bring Jake on. How important, Ben, to you is this game for Pete Golding? Because he did objective number one, Ben. He was a head coach. He had everything buttoned up. He had everything knocked out, organization, coaching-wise, the transition between coaches going from Ole Miss to LSU. All he needed to do was win the game. Well, Ole Miss did that convincingly. Now, at what point do we flip the script and say, okay, he's got that objective now. He's got another objective with Georgia on the table. What and how important is this game for Pete Golding?
It matters. It really does. I mean, for obvious reasons. If you win the game, it adds rocket fuel to not just your program and where it's going and for this year, but it legitimizes in many ways Keith Carter's belief in a Pete Golding, to promote him in place of Lane Kiffin, because That's really there. It's kind of like a dual story going on for Ole Miss right now. Number one, by themselves, Ole Miss is a good football team, a national championship contender, and they haven't been able to celebrate that as they should have been able to celebrate that because of other things, everything but. So winning Tulane and showing that it's the same team without the cult of personality, I think it's, you know, that was checklist number one. What this would do was essentially give you what Lane Kiffin couldn't accomplish, right? It adds a legitimacy to Pete Golding that he otherwise wouldn't have. Now, if he loses the game, you're doing what everyone expects you to do. Yes, the line is 6.5 and hasn't really bettered down. I actually went up to 7.5, got bettered back down to 6.5. Tells you the money's going to Ole Miss. So there's some bullishness out there in the betting market that Ole Miss is going to make this one heck of a game, and it's going to be a tightly contested one. Having said that, you're still an underdog, whether it's a slight underdog or not. If you beat Georgia and go on, like I said, especially with January 2, the transfer portal opening, it's really planting your flag as Pete Golding. Not to say that that's not what you did against Tulane, but this is a little bit different. And it's an opportunity that not many get. It's one game to legitimize yourself, and anything else that comes afterwards would kind of, just be supplementary to it. But this game by itself, make no mistake, if he wins this one, what it does for him and Ole Miss's brand moving forward is insane.
Real quick, Ben, I'll say this. A lot of people are saying, and this is absolutely no disrespect to Zach Arnett, who I think is a really good defensive coordinator, nor is this as a shot against Matt Luke, who's a really good offensive line coach and is, currently doing really good things, was at Georgia and Clemson and that sort of thing. But for people that are saying that Pete Golding's just another Matt Luke or Zach Arnett is incredibly unfair, is he going to be that way? I don't know. Is he going to be better than them? I don't know. But just assuming and whitewashing that he's just yet another offensive line or defensive coordinator that's going to, phase out and bust at Ole Miss is incredibly unfair. So I think a lot of things have to happen before any type of judgment is made on Pete Golding. Before we bring in Jay Thompson from down in New Orleans, I want to say a special thank you to so many people that are making all of our live remotes, this live show, and everything possible to drive home. It has been a labor of love for all of us. It grew from just in the south end zone, Ben and I throwing up a camera and having a conversation with all of you, to a really big operation. So we've got two live shows coming to you before kickoff. That's, of course, at the Alumni Association at the Fillmore from 8 o'clock until on New Year's Eve. And then we'll have our New Year's Day show, our kickoff show. That's going to happen, of course, the day of the game. That will happen at Manning's from 2 until 4. Cannot wait to see everybody. All of our coverage is brought to you by our good friends at Allen Samuels, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. Thank you to Mason and Brian, the entire team. Go by and see them today. They're just east of Kroger on University Avenue. On the left, they'll put you in a brand new Jeep, Chrysler, a Dodge, or a Ram today, and they've got incredible inventory. Go by and tell them you heard about it right here on the drive home. Heal Counseling and our good friend Chad Clardy. Thank you to Chad, his entire team of Heal Counseling, for sponsoring all of our programs here on the drive home. The Hearn Law Firm and Philip Hearn. I would say thank you. Philip's going to come see us. He's going to come see us either at Alumni Association or at Manning's. I'm excited to see Philip shake his hand. He's a proud sponsor here. His law firm is all over the place, and he's got any type of legal need that you have. Philip at Hearn Law Firm is the guy to give you a call. Scott and the College Corner. College Corner going on location with us. We have got some really cool items coming, and everybody's seen that powder blue hat with the college football logo. And Scott is bringing them, and not only are you going to be able to get that, you're going to be able to get that for free. If Scott's bringing down product to give away, we'll have that definitely at Manning's, and we may have some stuff for the Alumni Association. Just to stay tuned as we'll give you full information about where you can get some free product from the College Corner. They've got two locations in Ridgeland and, of course, in Oxford. The Oxford location is stocked full of Ole Miss gear. Everybody I've talked to has really been excited about what they found in College Corner store. It is on the left, right past the Chick-fil-A. And Scott will tell you that things are moving really well. And you stay tuned to the X account of mine, and you'll see stuff popping up all the time. They'll ship right to your front door. Chick-fil-A and Lance Reed, his team in Northeast Oxford, and then on West Jackson Avenue. I don't know if you can get that peppermint shake, but you better try today and see if you can grab a couple of those. And then that tortilla soup, they're going to be going away. But Chick-fil-A always has the best service. And I don't think he'll mind me saying this.
But I had a chance to visit with Whit Van Cleave, and he and I talked for a while. He's headed down to New Orleans, and he's a really big Ole Miss fan. He's obviously Ben Van Cleave is his brother, but Whit's a cool dude. And we talked all about football, but don't make for one mistake for a moment that we're not excited about baseball season coming up. There'll be full coverage everywhere, of course, of the Ole Miss spirit on Ole Miss baseball as well. A couple more sponsors, thankful for Built Different Fitness. We're going to be able to see the Built Different Fitness team down in New Orleans. They're going to come say hello. All of these sponsors are going to be on air with us. It's just going to be a big party. I've already said all that. So we're really excited to get to see everybody. Take Charge and Small Business Payment Solutions and our friends at Take Charge. They handle all of your credit card information. We'll have or swiping your card for your business. They'll take care of you. We'll have more information for them coming up soon. I know Ben's grateful for Billy Landis and Riverland. He's already talked about them. But I could not say enough about Tyler White and T. White's Custom Tees. They're our title and presenting sponsor for all of our college football playoff coverage on the Logan Media Network. Thanks to Tyler and his team. And Ben, we've had a lot of people we needed to thank, but there are a lot of people that have helped making this entire college football playoff experience possible, and we're so grateful for them.
I was muted. Now I'm not muted. Bring in Jake Thompson of the Ole Miss Spirit on Three, my coworker over there. If you want to sign up today, we'd love to have you. As long as Ole Miss is in the playoffs, you can get 50% off. 50% off an annual sub. All you got to do is join the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, and affiliate of On Three. That's where you'll find me. You'll find Brad. You'll find Jake. And Jake is in New Orleans. He's already there. I'm kind of jealous of it. Hey, Jakey, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are y'all doing?
Good, man. How did Media Day go today? What's the big takeaways?
I think the guys are all excited about being on that Patriots jet. I can't confirm. I asked Joe Judge. He recommended it, but did not personally call Robert Kraft to say, hey, give us the plane. So I'm getting all the hard-hitting information for y'all. But, Brad, I gotta ask you, I saw that graphic you made, and it put me in the heavenly skyline of floating above the Superdome.
Where you belong, Jake.
I don't know.
You are our eyes and ears today in New Orleans. I just want you to know how much we appreciate that. I think you asked the question to Kiwan Lacy. That's what everybody's wanting to know. How is the shoulder? How's his health? I think he smiled when you asked the question. So what's the latest on Kiwan Lacy?
I just asked. I'm sure I may not have been the first guy to ask, but I walked over and asked him how's his shoulder. Just said, great, great. I think he repeated it well. And like, as you've seen Brad, when we talked to him locally, back at home, he flashes that little smile when you ask him about his health. And that was it. And that was about all he would say. But he looked good, seemed in good spirits. All the guys who we thought had questionable injuries, I think there was even a rumor mill that Will Echols got banged up, but he was there. Yeah. One of the highlighted nine guys who got their own little pedestal, kind of like Super Bowl media day. And so he was fine. Everybody's accounted for, looked good. We got to talk to a lot of people. Charlie Weiss was in the building. Got to talk to him. He was obviously popular for a lot of different reasons. Yeah. I sat and talked with Winnie Watkins. Some of the freshmen were available, so I have a write-up on him and what I was actually working on before posting with y'all or joining on with y'all. Talked with Logan Diggs, who grew up. His hometown is like 35 minutes from where we are right now. He has never been to a Saints game, never played inside the Superdome. His high school never made it when he was there, at least. So they're off. They actually just headed now to practice. So that's the first time for him to take in all that. So it's a cool little story that he's never gotten to participate inside the Superdome. So there was a lot of cool stuff like that. A lot of the guys are happy to be playing in this game. And, Trinidad was obviously a hot guy, popular guy. Got asked all the questions of the transition with the coaches, LSU coaches in the building. Dealing with all that and how's that going? That was really kind of the hot topic, not really the game, because of course you got a lot of the local New Orleans, media, Baton Rouge media, so they were obviously wanting to ask all those LSU-esque questions. But for the most part, it was kind of the status quo of what we were getting told as we've been talking to these guys for 2 or 3 weeks now during the Tulane game and now, Super Bowl prep back home. But it's it was fun. It was quick. They kind of condensed everything with the way the playoffs are. So they kind of crammed everybody in and had a big old clock on the wall and says, 45 minutes, go. And Pete was up on stage, had his own little press conference. And so it was a lot to run around and do, but it's fun. It's a blast. And I know Ben's ready to get that media blanket. He asked me to hold for him yesterday.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yes, Jack, I did. I want my media blanket, okay?
It's nice. I used it last night. It works.
Heck yeah. I love those media gifts, man. I lost my Cotton Bowl gift bag or backpack from 2009. But yeah, dude, like I hear that this year's media gift is kind of insane, and Jake's already gotten ahead of it. I'm kind of disappointed.
Yeah, I liked it. The Sugar Bowl logo's on there, but when I folded it all the way out, had the playoff logo on there too. So that kind of made it even more special.
Jake, I want to go back to when you and I saw practice the other day, and Ben, when it was very brief. But one thing that you and I talked about as we were walking out is obviously Tywan Lacy and Daquan Wright both had, it looked to be like braces on.
Ole Miss fans, the college football playoff is in full swing. The postseason is just around the corner in the NFL. Underdog is the best way to get in on all the action. So get off the bench and into the game. Playing on Underdog is easy. Just pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats. Kiwan Lacy set records for the Rebels this season. Will he go higher than 1.5 touchdowns in the Sugar Bowl? Get your picks right and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. I've played Underdog all season as a beginner. Quarterbacks against the Dallas Cowboys defense have been easy winners. My holiday budget, let's just say, was nice and fat because of Underdog. And with Underdog Unwrapped, you'll unwrap tons of promos all throughout the holidays. They've got boosts, gimme picks, deal reveals, and even some surprises sprinkled in. Now is the best time to get in the game. So download the app today, sign up with my promo code CHAMPIONS, and score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS, Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 years or older to play and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing-get-terms_DFS_HTML for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In New York, call the 247-HOPE-LINE at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Have we lost him, Jakey?
We lost Brad. I sucked on the bandwidth out of it.
I'll take him off as he tries to get back on. I couldn't tell if that was just me or you, but Brad's frozen up a little bit. I'm curious, Trinidad's non-committal answer about his future. Just what was your take on Trinidad, what he said about potentially coming back next year, getting his waiver, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, you know, of course, he was telling the truth when we asked him again this week that the NCAA apparently just closes up shop for the holidays and says come back on January 2nd. So nobody knows anything. Him and everybody else is probably waiting on something. I guess may or may not get an answer when the bell strikes midnight for the portal on January 2nd. But, you know, his answer, I think you asked him the question back home, may have even been before the Tulane game, but that was the business answer. I get it. Man who's going to have options. And, you know, he doesn't know. You know, I guess it's hard for him to say I'll be back. And, you know, maybe he don't want to get everybody's hopes up because they think he knows about his waiver and then he gets told no. But it's the answer I'd give because, you know, he's going to be a hot commodity in the portal. And even when Lane was here, he would talk about re-recruiting players who had good years. And Trinidad's had a great year. So, and we know the usual suspects that'd be after services if he's eligible for 26. But I'm with you, and like you've said on the board and with others, his relationship with Joe Judge, I think, is the massive staying a power of him being a Rebel next year.
What about your interview with Winnie Watkins? What did you kind of take away from that? He's one that everyone's heard the most, a lot of rumblings about potentially transferring at season's end. Did you ask him about that?
Yeah, I asked it at the end. I kind of buttered him up a little bit. He praised Trinidad a lot, which so that kind of let us get a little comfortable. And then I asked the question as diplomatic as possible, kind of like how Trinidad said, I've got options. I was like, you know, you'll have options, or like every player in college football is going to have options once their season comes to an end. Just what are kind of your thoughts on that about Ole Miss? And he did not like me asking the question and said, I don't want to talk about that. I'm focused on the Sugar Bowl. And that was that. But I did ask the question, and that was the answer I got.
And that answer is telling enough, in my opinion, right? Yeah. Let's just be real for what it is.
It was not even as diplomatic as Trinidad's. It was more of, I don't want to talk about it. I'd like to not talk about it. I'm focused on Sugar Bowl, which you can read a lot from that answer.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of different things. I want to go ahead and bring it up because I got texted about it yesterday. Different type of portal pursuits that are coming. From an LSU source, LSU is expected to go hard after Deuce Alexander, Devin Harper, and Caleb Cunningham, in addition to obviously Lacy and Watkins, potentially Trinidad Chambliss. I'd say of that group, Devin Harper is the least likely of all of them to leave to transfer. He's slated to start at a tackle spot for Ole Miss next year. He also was recruited to LSU by Frank Wilson, and Frank Wilson is now Ole Miss's running backs coach. If I had to like rank choice those ones I just listed as most likely to least likely, most likely would be Winnie Watkins. Second most likely would be Kewon Lacy. Third most likely would be Trinidad Chambliss. Fourth most likely would be Caleb Cunningham, and fifth most likely – or no, take that back. I would put Deuce Alexander number three, then Trinidad Chambliss, Caleb Cunningham, and then Devin Harper. I think Ole Miss is going to do everything it can to retain most of those guys. But Winnie Watkins seems to me, and Brad, I'm sure you feel the same way. He seems to me like the most likely of the bunch right now. He is a Kiffin guy. And in that way, despite the other stuff and the noncommittal answer to Jake today in New Orleans, kind of rings to me like nothing's really taken us off that track currently, Brad.
Yes. Jake, I'm sorry I lost my internet connection. I wanted to ask you, I was kind of in the middle of asking, the takeaway from practice that we saw the other day, obviously the Realtree helmet, which is unrelated to actual on the field. I saw there was a Navy helmet on site today going head-to-head with Georgia, but the Realtree helmet was on the field. That's what they're practicing in. And there are some rumors that there will be a Realtree helmet in the Sugar Bowl. But the main thing that you and I both talked about is the health of Kewon Lacy and Daquan Wright. Both were practicing. They were not going wide open by any stretch. But both appeared, Jake, as you noticed, to have a brace on that shoulder.
Yeah, it's I don't know what the exact term, but brace is what what we kind of went with sitting there talking about it in practice, but it's to keep you from moving your arm, I'm sure, to a certain extent. And it just connects to the shoulder and your body. They both had that. Like you said, that what we saw the few minutes we were out there Sunday, they were moving that, a little faster than a walkthrough and just kind of going through the motions. But I think Daquan's probably a little more healthy than Kewon, just because Daquan's been battling a shoulder injury, hasn't really re-aggravated it from what we can see. But Kewon, just 10 days ago, got hurt not once but twice, it looked like, once he went back in. So how much is Kewon going to be a factor? That's the question. I'm sure he's going to give it all he can if he's told he can go full speed. But the other side of the coin is, how much is he just going to be a decoy to keep the Georgia defense honest if they keep him listed as probable and don't backtrack from that tonight and tomorrow night's report, and they don't know not to plan for him? So I think there's a little, bit of mystery still to it. But I think he's going to go if this trainer say he's not just out there to not do anything. I think you're going to see a guy give it his best out there. Cause I mean, they are just 60 minutes away from being one of the last four teams to play for a title. And I think that's motivation for anybody, no matter how hurt you are.
You've covered a lot of different coaches at Ole Miss. I think this is important to point out, not just football, but all across the gamut of sports, whether it be women's basketball, softball, men's basketball, baseball. How, in your opinion, has Pete Golding handled being the head coach of the Ole Miss football program from a head coaching standpoint?
From the little bit we've gotten to see, because unfortunately this happened right in the playoff stretch and access is slightly more limited. But, he had his first kind of major press conference here today in front of media. And he'll have another one in the morning along with Kirby for the old ceremonial trophy photo. But he's handled it well, answered questions, held court for a long time. You know, looked like he's already been there kind of thing. Poised as a head coach, still giving his Pete Golding answers. We command F'd all his transcript because we were running around, and it was a lot more cleaned up. We found one word that was still that still made it through, but he's gotten better. But I like that about him. I mean, you know, that's I want something authentic, and I think mm-hmm. we've seen the last month that he's authentic, good, bad, or indifferent. And I said this, I think, when we shared with our Georgia sister site, we shared like answer five questions, and they asked me, is Pete Golding the man? And I think I phrased it as he's got a turnkey team right now. He was given the keys to a house that's already built with all the pieces. You do not know how he's going to be until he builds his new house starting either January 2nd or whenever the season ends moving forward. So I don't think we can fairly judge anything because he's got a mansion with all the nice toys and whistles still in it as no player is hurt or opted out. That's, you know, an impact player. So I think that also helps him right now. It would help me with confidence as a head coach, knowing that I still got this team that's number six in the country and one of the best offenses and a defense that's played better. The real questions come whenever that offseason hits this month or January.
January 2nd. I mean, the portal opens January 2nd. I'm telling you, I think Deuce Knight, if he gets in, Ole Miss is the prohibitive favorite to land him. Tristan Jernigan from Texas A&M, a linebacker, originally from Tupelo. I've heard he's a name to keep an eye on. Ole Miss is the leading candidate to land him. A lot of you asked in the chat specifically about Cam Coleman. Cam Coleman is going to make the most money of anybody in the portal, if you maybe guess. And sounds like there's some activity over there in New Orleans with Jake. But, I think Ole Miss will be involved, but everybody's going to be involved, and it just depends upon price point. It certainly wouldn't hurt if Ole Miss was able to bring Deuce Knight to Ole Miss from Auburn if he were to get into the portal, and I still think that's the most likely thing to happen of all the scenarios regarding Deuce Knight. Here's what Pete Golding said to open his press conference today that Jake was at there in New Orleans, and he also spoke about returning home. He's from Hammond, Louisiana, returning home to coach in so far, and it's still very young career to date as a head coach, but his biggest game as a head coach today.
Obviously super excited to get down here. Transition yesterday was pretty smooth. I had a couple practices at home in Oxford, prepping for Georgia, and then today we'll have our normal Thursday, no sweat walkthrough in the dome, and followed up by tomorrow, which we do a fast Friday, get them rolling a little bit, and then have our meetings and get ready to go. So guys have been in a good place, been working extremely hard, really excited for the opportunity.
You being a Louisiana native, a Hammond guy, like what does it mean to lead this team in your home state with so much history?
Yeah, obviously it's awesome coming back home. A great opportunity for our players. I mean, the Sugar Bowl has always done an unbelievable job. It's a great city to host, a great city to play football in, and a really good city to eat in as well. But a couple more tickets than normal, you know, with the crew coming over from Hammond. But just super excited for the venue, playing in the dome for our guys, and it being a playoff game, and them earning an opportunity to play again as a team has been really special. But to have, you know, my brother here, my parents here, and all my high school buddies and all that would be pretty neat.
He's getting more and more comfortable, I think, Jake. He's never not going to be himself and be comfortable, but I do think you're starting to hear more and more of Pete Golding's voice now.
Yeah, I think, you know, jumping him right into as the bakery rack behind me is getting louder, I think, as lunch coming. But throwing him right into the fire of having these national press conferences because he's in the playoffs, I think, is, you know, it's media training on the go, but it's only going to make it much easier for him when he's up there in July in Tampa for SEC Media Day for his first real kind of official starting the first season as head coach, full season. So he's doing great. I think he's been great from the start. He's just got to learn. He's not talking to his guys in the team meeting room and got a camera in front of him and got to be polished a little bit more. But I've loved what he said and how he said it from the start.
Jake, did you hear anything from Kirby Smart that stuck out to you?
Not really. I was kind of bouncing around trying to see if there's any Georgia guys to talk to, but he got asked a lot of big picture questions, like how to fix things, how to fix, you know, all the portal. And that was what they were all mostly talking to him about. It felt like, I guess he's the new Saban. So they asked him all those big picture type questions. So I didn't hear anything out of the ordinary in terms that might aid in terms of this game itself.
When you look at Kirby's career, and we've Ben and I talked about it, brand new on the head coaching career of Pete Golding, and it's, you know, we haven't seen Kirby in person a lot. You saw him today. Is there any correlation between the Saban tree just by hearing both of them talk in person, mannerisms or anything that jumped out at you?
No, I think it's night and day in terms of Pete's still kind of off the cuff. He may learn to hold some things or tailor some words. But in terms of that, I think it's still Kirby is more Saban-esque than Pete Golding. Pete's Pete. I think he's 1-1, and he's going to be that way. Now, he may reference some stuff from his Saban days, but in terms of how he handles the media, I mean, he's already told us more injury stuff than we've ever gotten 5 years, five, you know, 6 years with under Kiffin. So I think Pete's going to be his own style, which I appreciate. It's refreshing.
Jake, what's your feel for the actual game in and of itself? I mean, we talked kind of around the big picture here. It's Ole Miss is 6.5-point favorite, went to 7.5. It's back down to 6.5. What do you think? You know, you've watched every game like we all have in person. Where are you at with the game?
You know, if Ole Miss handles the emotions of being in that stadium, first time they've been in a dome. I mean, a lot of the guys are talking about that today, being in a dome. And Trinidad even got even more in the weeds of what the difference is for a quarterback to play in a dome with those lights instead of natural lights. So, I mean, if they can get over that, you know, first and the emotions and, you know, if the crowd is 50-50 like they're hoping it is as opposed to what it was in Athens 2 months ago and just kind of settle in, treat it like a normal game, then they'll be okay. But the biggest thing is they've got to get Georgia off the field. I mean, if they don't ever do that, if it's a replica 2 months ago and they've got to play score for score, I don't know if they can do that because this Georgia defense has just gotten so much better since that game. And we saw how they were against Alabama, you know, a month ago. And so I think if you got to hold serve every time, that's a problem. But if this Ole Miss defense, which also has gotten better, maybe not as incrementally better as Georgia's, and get a stop or two or even hold them to more field goals and touchdowns, then they've got a chance. I like the line, 6.5, 7. It makes sense based off how they played, you know, the first time. So I do think it's anybody's game, but I think that first quarter dictates how the rest of the game is going to go.
Before we let you out of here, Jake, I want to ask you very simply, from your running around for 45 minutes, had 50 players, all those coaches, doing the best you can, for the folks that are just getting in or that just want the Cliff Notes version, what were the three biggest things you took away from today?
They look, the main guys who kind of got the podium attention, Trinidad and Lacey, you know, they look, you know, ready for the moment. They looked poised. They look obviously happy to be in this situation, in this game, but none of them had like a, oh, wow, this is a lot. Like deer in the headlight look, where I think if I saw that, where they just kind of looked rattled on today, I think it was snowball. But they've got a 1-0 mentality all year, as they've been telling us ad nauseum, and then that's helped the players off in the scrum table areas over here where I'm sitting now, just kind of laughing it up, enjoying the moment. The ones who never got questions asked wandered over, played some Pac-Man, pool table. You know, they got tired of sitting there doing nothing. Joe Judge was great to talk to. He's shaking everybody's hand. I mean, they're all loose, and that's what you want to see. And now they'll go do their normal no sweat Thursday practice, keep it as usual and normal as possible. And I like the vibe. It wasn't a vibe where it felt like, oh, this is the biggest thing we've been in. We're not used to this. And you know, even Winnie Watkins talked like a guy who's been here before, and this is his 14th game at the college level. So you've got guys who are just from freshman to super veteran that are not phased and treating it just like it's a game in the vault in a couple of days.
Jake, real quick, kind of off the football reservation and on the New Orleans reservation, is Michael Katz still alive? And the second part about the second question is, where is a spot that you have to eat before you leave town?
He is alive. He's sitting over there working on something.
Tell him we said hello.
I will. For me, I kind of bounced around. We ate at Maspero's yesterday. Once I got settled in, checked in, just wanted to eat something, ate there. Obviously, the beignets, everybody has their opinion on Café du Monde or others. I'm at the Hilton, so I'll probably slip downstairs to Drago's and get some seafood and pasta there. But everybody, that's the answer where I think if I asked Ben, he'd have five different answers. If I asked you, he'd have five different answers. That's the beauty of New Orleans, is anybody can – it's tailored to every personality food-wise, so you can't really go wrong anywhere.
Go to Lucy's for brunch and make sure to get, like, whenever we do get into town, especially for New Year's Eve, I want to see you at the Alumni Association party at the Fillmore. Come talk to us. Might put you on, put you back on air again. I know you love being on camera. And then on New Year's,
maybe slipping into the Grove Collective shindig that night, so I may try to get some scoops for you.
We should go live to Jake will be from the Alumni Association. We'll go live to him at the Grove Collective. Brad,
that's
I think
we
already
do.
Yeah,
that
I think we're
Pops's birthday or Christmas present was finally signing him up to the Grove Collective. So that gets us into the party.
That's fantastic. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go to Jake from the Grove Collective party for a little bit. We'll be at the Alumni Association at the Fillmore, but then on New Year's Day, I want to see you back at Manny's with Pop from 2 to 4 because that's where we'll be live for the drive home, Brad.
Yeah. Jake, man, this was awesome today. Thank you. I've received a ton of messages. Thank you for being our eyes and ears today down in New Orleans, and all that information is awesome. Good stuff. I think you sell yourself short. You did a really good job today. And we do hope you come join us at the Alumni Association and in Manning's as well.
Oh, we're going spread to him live now that we know that he's going to be at the Grove Collective.
Well, that means he has to come to us, has to come to Manning's on game day.
That's right. But we're going to have all bases covered, Jake. So just like be ready. I'm like, he's at the Ole Miss Spirit, is Jake, OMSpirit.com, and Fleet of On Three. If you sign up today, as long as Ole Miss is in the playoff, if you're a new member, 50% off an annual. That QR code above Brad's head, that's to sign up for the Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com. 50% off. You'll get all of Jake's coverage, all of my coverage, all of Brad's coverage too. Brad is a daily regular over with us at the Ole Miss Spirit as he holds his fingers up because he has something to say. What's up, Brady?
No, I was pointing to the QR code.
Oh, the QR code. Well, yes, the QR code that way. The QR code. That's how you sign up. 50% off all new subscribers as long as Ole Miss is in the playoff. Thank you, Jakey.
Appreciate y'all. See you down there soon.
We'll see you soon. He's Jake Thompson of the Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com, an affiliate of On Three. I'm so thankful to him for coming to us from New Orleans.
That was great.
We kind of like wrap this thing up. What's the biggest takeaway for you now, knowing what we know about Ole Miss Media Day in New Orleans?
I mean, my whole thing is I've got a checklist for Pete Golding and where, you know, what box he needs to check. And has he checked this box and this box and this one? He's checked every one of them. I mean, and then that was the box today, and I knew he would check it, is how would he be in this huge environment? Would he be loose? Would he clean up some things? I mean, he's done everything, and what Jake told us and what we've heard that you played here on the show, it's been incredible about how well he's handled things. And I think, you know, I've thought a little bit about being a free shot, and Ben, you push back on that, and I'm kind of leaning with you now. I mean, I don't think it's really a free shot anymore. And I'm with you because you look at where these two teams are. And I go back to, once again, what I said at the top of the show. With 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, I'm sorry, 1 minute and 30 seconds to go, I wrote this down. Ole Miss was a 93 percentile chance of winning the game on the ESPN predictor. I went back and looked at it. That's when we would know that Georgia would score 17 and the fourth down play and all of that happened because you and I both know if that fourth down goes Ole Miss's way, the game's over. And I think Kirby knew that because Kirby even said at the end of the game. But Kirby, once again, he said, quote, we're built for this. And so I think for Ole Miss, they've got to somehow slay the giant. And the giant right now is Kirby Smart. And I think it's yet another, you know, feather in the cap if Pete Golding can come away and sprinkle some magic dust. And Trinidad made a good point. I'm glad Jake said that. As you look at where Ole Miss was, and we talked about the crowd late in the game, and that's when Georgia started feeling it, and that student section was rolling beside us. It got real loud. In the Superdome in a couple of days, it's going to be every bit 50-50 Ole Miss, and I would argue it would be maybe 55-45. I mean, I really think it's going to be. Yes, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I think there's going to be a huge Ole Miss crowd. So, here's the thing. I think if Ole Miss, and Trinidad talked about how the fans get behind them, if Ole Miss comes away and wins this thing, watch out. They may win the whole thing. And I'm not going to clean my language up and not say what Jake Taylor said on Major League whenever, you know, the owner came in and kind of killed the roster, and then they just kind of put a bunch of ragtag guys together. Here comes Lou Brown. And I'm not saying that the – you know, Major League's a parallel to Ole Miss football, but I'm just kind of relating to where when he came in and said, there's only one thing to do, that's just win the whole thing. And that's kind of where this team is we've seen all the stuff on the outside, the national media, we've seen all the stuff from Baton Rouge. All Ole Miss can do is what's in front of them. LSU can't do anything. They lost the Texas Bowl and they finished 7-6. They're done. But Ole Miss has their entire future in front of them. History in the making. When against Georgia, and all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, Ole Miss has a chance to do the unthinkable and win the national championship. And that is going to be absolutely incredible. Yes, James, I am coming around because I really felt like this was going to be a free shot for Ole Miss. And it's just kind of like, hey, let's just be, you know, Ole Miss fans can and the players can be thankful just to be there. That's not the case anymore. I don't agree with that. I think this is a situation to where I think just like Blind Squirrel says, if Ole Miss wins the Sugar Bowl, I hope they win it all. I might take the word hope out there and put the word think. I think they might win it all if they win over Georgia. I'm kind of sticking by that because I think it could be a team of destiny at that point.
Hey, look, I've been saying it. I expect Georgia to beat Ole Miss. I'm not running from that. That's what my prediction was.
Me too.
I have said consistently, however, that if Ole Miss does beat Georgia, I'm picking them all the way through, team of destiny stuff. But if they get past Georgia, which is going to be the biggest test for not just Pete Golding today, but for this team, it's the only team that you lost to this year. A single-digit loss at their place because you couldn't get a single defensive stop, and the game script is pretty much the same today as it was back then in October. So have you come around enough? Are you improved enough to overcome the things that cost you what would have been a different win? And what I mean by that is, yes, you would be, you'd be in the playoff, you'd be undefeated. You'd have been the number one seed. You'd have gone to the SEC championship game.
Yeah.
You maybe lose that game, but you're getting a bye week. You know, I mean, you're getting a bye.
And then Oxford doesn't happen, you know?
Yeah, and exactly.
And that's what stinks, and that's why I think, you know, I've talked with Keith Carter about this and other national people, and, you know, they believe in all the national media that came to Oxford. There were a lot, man. You had 40. You had Dan Wolkin. Trey was there. Was Ross Dellinger there?
Oh, yeah, Ross was there.
I mean, it was your world of college football. Media was there, and they all agreed, man, this thing needs to come to campus for every you know, non-quarterfinal, whatever. It needs 100%. To be on campus. It was incredible. So, and you know, it's really interesting to see all of that national media that had their pitchforks out for Ole Miss were actually in Ole Miss's favor during this whole process. So that was really interesting to see. As we get out of here today, Ben, I want to say a special thank you to everybody that's making the college football playoff coverage possible. Everybody that has followed us on our live shows, everybody that's followed us on our post-game shows and our pre-game shows, thank you. All of you that shared, liked, subscribed, all the New Albany brigade that had us out for the pre-game show, thank you so much. And everybody at the university that has been so kind to us, the Alumni Association, Kirk Purdom and his team that is welcoming us on New Year's Eve. Thank you to the crew at Manning's. Thank you for all that you have done. But we couldn't do what we do without our friends at Allen Samuels, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. Brian and Mason has been with us since the very beginning. And they saw our dream, and they bought in with us. And we have all dreamed together, and we have all grown together. So thank you to Allen Samuels and the entire team there. Chad Clardy and Hill Counseling. Thank you to Chad, a huge Ole Miss fan. He'll be down in New Orleans. He'll come see us. But the folks at Hill Counseling, thank you for all you have done. The Hearn Law Firm. The Hearn Law Firm is all across the state of Mississippi. If you have any type of legal need, give them a call or shoot them an email today. Philip Hearn ended up being a really good friend throughout all this. He has helped me behind the scenes with so much stuff down in New Orleans. Thank you to Philip and his team. He's going to come see us in New Orleans. Scott in the College Corner, also a proud sponsor here on the drive home. We're going to have that wonderful powder blue hat is going to be available not only for sale. No, it's not going to be available for sale. We're going to give those away. We're going to bring a bunch of those down there and give those away at our remotes. So come see us at the Alumni Association at the Fillmore. That is all the way at the end of Canal Street. You'll see it.
And now Jake is going to be coming live to us. We'll be at the alumni, then we'll send it over there to get a breakdown. What's going on over there at the Grove Collective? Might make Jake go like put the mic in front of Walker's
face.
That's
what I'm saying. We worked really hard to get it to the Mannings for the Grove Collective, and now we're going to be able to do both of them. So we're excited about that.
God is good.
Chick-fil-A on the West Jackson Avenue, their location there, was there the other day. And on the Northeast Oxford location, Lance and his entire team do incredible work. My good friend Whit, who works at the Northeast. He works at West Jackson. He and I had a long discussion about this game. He's headed down to New Orleans with a number of team members there at Chick-fil-A in Oxford. Great service, great food, and lightning fast service. Thanks to our friends at Chick-fil-A. Built Different Fitness on West Jackson Avenue. hey, everybody, we're all going to Built Different Fitness as soon as this playoff run is over. We need it. I know.
I'm so thankful for Built Different Fitness. Yep.
We have got a complimentary membership coming. By the way, a couple things we'll be telling you about down in New Orleans, and we're going to have some of the representation from Built Different to be on there. We've got a cold plunge. There's all type of workout equipment. There's all type of hot stuff to wear, saunas, and there's a lot.
I need the sauna.
Built Different. They're located on West Jackson Avenue, so be sure to go by and see them, and we'll give you more information on them as time permits. Take Charge and our friends over at New Albany, they take care of all of your credit card payment. If you're a business and you're really struggling with your credit card payments, give the folks at Take Charge a call. Google them today, Take Charge, and they can help your small business with all of your payment solutions. I want to say a special thank you to my good friend Tyler White and T. White's Custom Tees. He is the one that's providing all of the college football playoff coverage on the Logan Media Network. He is our lone sponsor, and Tyler and I have been working together for a long time. So twhites.com, they can handle any type of custom need that you have, and we appreciate all of you for following, Ben.
Before we get out of here, I'm going to answer some questions from the chat. Blind Squirrel Sports 8429, late to the show, so apologize if you've already addressed it. Do you have any update on the status of Caleb Odom for the Sugar Bowl? He should be good to play. I mean, he's banged up, but everybody is, and he's not banged up so much that he won't play in the Sugar Bowl, if you ask me. But he is hurting. Keywon Lacy's hurting, too. That's why it was nice to hear today from Pete Golding talking about Keywon Lacy's health. And mentioning that he looks forward to watching him play. This is what he said.
Lacy says he's ready to go. What have you seen from him in practice, and are you confident?
I couldn't agree with him more. So excited to watch him go out and play really well.
I love that. I couldn't agree. Yep, couldn't agree more. He's good to go, ready to see him play, and I feel like that's applicable not just to Keywon Lacy.
Yeah.
It's also applicable to one Caleb Odom.
Yeah, and real quick, we asked Joe Judge on Sunday about injuries. He said, look, guys, I mean, everybody's hurt. I mean, we're in week, 13? Mm-hmm. And so 12, 13. So, yeah, he said everybody's hurt. You just play through it. But right now, nobody – but he did say, I'll leave it up to Pete Golding to discuss any injury questions. But he did point out that it did not appear that – and we would learn that Lacy and Daquan would be, we think, good to go. They're probable on the injury report. But I think from what Jake was telling us, they're going to be ready to go.
Yeah, here's the injury report. I actually loaded that up for everybody to see it. Let me remove the comment from my guy at Ole Means. Cedric Beavers is out. John Wayne Oliver's out. Caleb Odom is questionable. He's going to play. Keywon Lacy's probable. Daquan Wright's probable. Daquan Wright's been living on probable for weeks. Doubtful is Raymond Collins. And then you see for Georgia, obviously, what they're going to be without and who's probable. But for Ole Miss, the only real question mark of these guys would be Caleb Odom, because Keywon is on the right side of questionable. He's now probable. I think Caleb is on the right side of questionable, because you're going to have to really do something to remove that kid, remove any kid of consequence for playing in the biggest game of their life. I mean, they're playing for a title, and they want to be out there. So there's the injury report. That QR code above Brad's head is for the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and affiliate of On3. Sign up today, and you will get 50% off if you're a new member. 50% off an annual sub to the Ole Miss Spirit. You don't just have to hang out with us on the podcast an hour a day. You can come hang out with us, me, Brad, Jake Thompson, who was so gracious with his time today from New Orleans at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. Just scan that QR code, and you can join us right here and now for 50% off, as long as Ole Miss is in the playoff, which we hope is beyond this weekend, that they get this win. Because if they do, and I said it, if they do, I'm picking them all the way through, Team of Destiny stuff. But to finish up, some questions from the chat at JBL104. Any portal updates at the Ole Miss Spirit? I did a big portal update. You can read more about it there. But I expect Deuce Knight to get in the portal. I expect even more of a mass exodus from Auburn because of how they're restructuring their NIL deals. It's more incentive-laden deals. So Auburn is trying something. I hope it works for them. But it's, in the short term, it's going to lead to some more departures. And I think one of them is Deuce Knight. It almost would be the prohibitive favorite to land him if that does happen. Cam Coleman is going to be pursued by everybody, including Ole Miss, but that price point, there's no telling where it goes. He's going to be the most coveted player in the portal, so we'll see. But Tristan Jernigan, I expect Ole Miss to be a leading candidate for him, a transfer linebacker originally from Tupelo, but he's a transfer linebacker from Texas A&M. Jamonta Waller, I think, is going to follow Ron Roberts to Arkansas. That's one that we've talked about on the Ole Miss Spirit as a potential transfer option for Ole Miss. But I think Ron Roberts, who Ole Miss actually talked to, Pete Golding talked to about joining staff at Ole Miss, I think he ultimately goes there. And Ole Miss is kicking the tires already on a couple of offensive linemen, transfer offensive linemen from LSU, including Carius Kern. Tyler Miller would be another player. He's originally from Laurel if he does get in, and I don't think LSU linemen are done getting into the portal. So all of those updates is happening all the time at the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com. Affiliate of On Three, just sign up today. 50% off for new members. We got a dollar deal going too. So, yeah, man, we'd love to have you. And thanks to our sponsors, like Brad said, there's a lot of them and we have to get through them and give them their thanks. But man, how incredibly thankful we are to them for everything they've done. They've just been absolutely great. Blind Squirrel, thank you for answering my question. Thank you, my friend, for asking. For all of you that join us in the chat, Mary, William, Tony. I mean, there's so many out there, man, that I've gotten to know y'all through this chat and through this show and its growth over the last year. And we're going to have an absolute hell of a time in New Orleans. It'll be another great Ole Miss family reunion. And, you know, for me in this point in my life, this is the first Christmas that felt more like something to get through than a holiday. And, but like God has allowed through all of this, you know, I was like, man, it doesn't feel like Christmas. And then I remembered the fellowship pockets that you get if you go to Christmas service at church, if you go to New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl, those pockets of fellowship, that's where the blessing truly resides for me now. And I'm so thankful to God for that. So I look forward so much to seeing y'all in New Orleans. Please come see us. Come find us at the Alumni Association party at the Fillmore on New Year's Eve. And then on New Year's Day, we will be at Manning's for 2 hours for the pregame show from 2 to 4. So until then, until our next live, I'm leaving for New Orleans later today. Brad's leaving, I think, tomorrow. A lot of coverage coming your way. We'll be live again for a podcast, maybe tomorrow, maybe Thursday. Right now, we're kind of living by the seat of our pants because we got to get to New Orleans. We all got to get down there. We got to get to the Big Easy. You know what I mean?
I want to say real quick, everybody, thanks again to the Alumni Association and Kurt Purdom and his team for inviting us to jump in with them, the New Year's Eve celebration. For ticket information, go to olemissalumni.com and buy a ticket today and come join us. We'll be there from New Year's Eve from 8 o'clock until. So that's olemissalumni.com for a huge New Year's Eve bash. It's safe, it's family friendly, and it's full of Ole Miss fans. So that's a great opportunity for to ring the new year in. In New Orleans, if you don't want to fight Bourbon Street, you don't want to fight Canal, just come on in to the Fillmore. Go to olemissalumni.com and secure that ticket today. You can get it online, get it right to your smartphone, and go right in. Secondly, we want to welcome everybody to join us at Manning's the day of the game from 2 until 4. It's going to be packed. Get there early. Get a seat. We're going to have so much fun. So come join us at Manning's, and we couldn't do what we do without all of our sponsors. We're going to have some fun, and we're going to have Brad on the street. That'll be, of course, sponsored by my friends at T. White's Custom Tees. Love that. And that's where I will be stopping and interviewing different Ole Miss fans and posting on all the social channels. So
honestly, it's my favorite. It's become one of my favorite parts of what we do. Like I love Brad on the street. We need to start segmenting the sponsors. Like Brad on the street brought to you by B&A Bank or Riverland Roofing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then we could go like Jake at the Grove Collective party brought to you by.
Jake thought we were kidding. I'm going to text him to find Walker and text Walker and say, go find Jake. And we're going to interview Walker Jones tomorrow night.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that has to happen. Now, like, again, Brad was stressing, man, at the end of last week, and he's been working his tail off, setting all this stuff up. Hardest working man in this business, in my opinion. I think the world of him, that man that's sitting right here beside me on the screen.
Effort,
man.
It's a group effort.
Brad Logan rules, and man, he was worried. He was like, man, I wish it's weighing on my mind, Now look where we're at, Brad. We not only got a place to set up. Thank you to Ken for reaching out on Twitter, the CEO of the Alumni Association, saying, come hang out with us. But now we got Jake going to be where we wanted to, another place where we talked about being, thought we were going to be, and we're still going to be Manning's on New Year's Day. So, man, it's going to be so much fun. I can't wait to see you all down there, Mary, Tony. All of y'all, William, again, I can't wait to put faces to names. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I met Mary in Oxford the other day. Super.
That's
nice.
What she said early in the chat. She was like, so glad
her husband and her wonderful dog, and it was a great meeting. And we look forward to seeing everybody in New Orleans.
Heck yeah, it's going to be fun. He's Brad Logan. I'm Ben Garrett. Sign up for the Ole Miss Spirit today. We'd love to see you. And Mary, I'm going to hold you to it. You've been saying you're going to buy me some beers. Diet started today, but I've been saying that for the last 2 weeks. All right? So if you buy me a free beer, I ain't turning it down. It just means I got to go run 3 miles, apparently, because my fat ass better do something, get some steps in. Otherwise, we're just going to be sitting and drinking. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Brad. Love y'all. This is awesome. We'll see you in New Orleans. See you,
everybody,
buddy.
In New Orleans.
Oh, I can't wait to go to New Orleans, dude.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.